Psalm chapter 31, verse 1. Bible says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy. For Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Father, we thank You and praise You for Your word. Lord, help us to really be strengthened by this, to be encouraged by it. God, even though we may be in hard times, maybe something we've never faced before, difficulty we've never known before, God, that through it all we can still trust You. As we may be a broken vessel, Lord, I pray we continue to trust You. And for those that are there right now, maybe they are broken and none of us know it, but they're right here with David, saying they cry all day. It hurts their bones, their stomach. For years, maybe they've been struggling. I pray You'd help them to trust in You, to lean on You, God, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at being a broken vessel here. What happens? As a Christian, what are we to do when it seems like we're in a situation where there's no hope? What do we do? I think you know I already told you. We continue to trust in the Lord. But that's easy to say. It's not easy to do. But that's the example we're given here. Say, there's no hope. I don't know what to do. I can't see the end in sight. Things are horrible. They're awful. I've never been like this before. What do I do, God? And David said, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. That's what he went back to. See, as Christians, we go back to what we know, even if we don't always understand it. That's what we have to do. That's what he did right here, and he was in some circumstances I don't think he fully understood. He found himself in a situation where he felt like he was worthless and should be thrown away. Look at verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. This is how David feels. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Well, what do you do if you drop a glass? You pick it up and put it back together. You throw that thing in the trash. See, this is no good. Can't use it anymore. So David felt like he was so broken that he felt worthless. I can't be used for anything. I'm just, throw me away. That's where he was at. Through whatever circumstances, maybe some of you in here feel like that right now, or maybe not right now, but you might one day. Or maybe you have felt like that before. I'm just worthless. What am I doing? Maybe it is because of your own sin. Maybe I can't get victory over this, Lord. I don't know what to do. I should just quit. Just give up. I'm trying. Maybe it's from outside circumstances, as David was facing right here, enemies surrounding him, coming after him in fear for his life. You know, a lot of women could be in situations like that, where they're living in fear of their life because of some wicked husband or boyfriend that's threatened to kill them. That stuff doesn't happen. That happens every day all over this city. It's affected my family. I bet it's affected your family. In fear for their life. I've never understood why a woman being abused and beaten will stay with a man that'll do that to her. My mind doesn't work like that. I don't get it. But I can understand the fear. I can't leave him. He'll kill me. And I wasn't there to see the look in his eyes when he threw her into the wall and punched her in the face and said, "If you ever leave me, I'll kill you." We may not be going through what David goes through, but we can go through something similar and have that same fear. There's no hope. What do I do? Maybe that woman's tried to leave him before and he found me. Maybe it's something you're facing at work. Maybe it is what we were talking about just a little while ago, about taking a stand. You say, if I do this, I am going to lose my job. Then how do I take care of my family? That's fear. That's fear. There's not one of us here that would say, well, what do I do? I know what I need to do. I know what the right thing to do is, but Lord, how do I feed my family then? We'll lose our house. How am I supposed to provide for them? Fear. See, we can be in seemingly hopeless situations just like David felt right here. So I'm like a dead man. I'm a broken vessel. Just throw me away. I'm good for nothing. You know, some commentators believe that this psalm right here, Psalm 31, was written when David was in the wilderness of Maon and had been betrayed by the Ziphites. You can see it there in 1 Samuel 23 if you want to read through that, and was being hunted down by King Saul. Not all of them think that. Some of them think that. So we're going to take that. We're going to go with that. It may be the case. It may not. I don't think we know for certain. But whatever it was, he had some people after him and he was running for his life. And that's likely when it did take place. He is running for his life and he's kind of wondering, what's going on here, God? He's not sure what to do. And he feels, as he says, I'm like a dead man who's out of mind. Everyone's just forgotten about me. I'm like a broken vessel. I'm good for nothing. What am I even doing here? Lord, you promised me I was going to be the king. You anointed me when I was just young and nobody thought it was me. And now I've been going through these, 10, 15, 20 years, Lord. And what in the world? Why? This isn't what you told me. Why am I going through this? And many Christians will say that, God, you promised this and you promised this. So why am I going through this? And you know, there's one thing, as bad as things may get in this life, there's one thing we can always look back to that tells us that God loves us. And it's the cross. No matter what circumstances you're in, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how forsaken you may feel, you can know that God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He yoked up with you. Rather, we yoked up with Him, but you get what I'm saying. He yoked up with you. You became one with Him when you went to the cross. And that, for all time, shows us His love for us. No matter what we're going through, we can look to the cross. So what's the proper response when we don't know what to do, when we feel there's no hope? As God's children, when we are surrounded by danger and it seems like there's no way out, we continue to trust in the Lord. You have to. When you're in a situation like that, I guarantee you're not going to feel like reading your Bible. You're not going to feel like praying. But that's the thing you need more than anything else. That's exactly what you need. more than anything else. You have to trust in the Lord. You've got to go back to Him. What'll make it easier to be able to do that, to be able to go and lean on the Lord, is if while things are going well right now, you build a habit of doing that. You know, don't be like an emergency Christian where you just come to God when there's an emergency. You know, there's a lot of people that do that. You know, there's some horrible circumstances. And then, oh God, I'll do anything if you'll just get me out of this. Please, Lord. Don't do that. Build a habit of walking with Him. Build a habit of being close to Him. That's what David did. God said, I'm going to make a king who's a man after my own heart. That's who I want to be king. That means David didn't just do it in emergencies. He always did it. How do you think he was able to pen the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? How do you think he was able to do that? Because as he was out there shepherding those flocks, sitting there watching over that flock, he just started thinking. He's like, you know what the Lord is? He's like a shepherd to me. Just like I watch over all these sheep, I know them by name. I care for them, I love them. If they go off the wrong way, I go get them. When the wolves come, I chase them off. I mean, a lion had one in its mouth. I mean, David went and punched that thing in the face. Just pow! I'm like, we lost one. We lost one. Sorry, we lost one. I'm not going to go punch a lion in the mouth. I mean, think, have you ever seen a mountain lion? No, I mean, they had a zoo up. It's like a wildlife zoo up here in the East Mountains. And they had one that they captured from when it was a baby. It couldn't survive in the wild. It didn't get trained properly, too. And that one was all tame. It was a male, and it was just like tame, just like laying there. It looked all like kind of fat and lazy. It didn't if you looked at it. But when you compared it to the one that they'd caught that grew up in the wild but had gotten injured, so they brought it there and they were rehabilitating it, and there was a huge difference. I mean, both of them looked powerful, but the male, who just grown up like that, kind of looked fat and slobby compared to the female that had grown up in the wild. And the difference between them, I mean, the male was just there like, and the female was like, I mean, stalking, walking through there like, I mean, arms just like bulging, just, you know, I mean, this thing was like, man, you're like, whoa, this, I mean, there was such a difference. I am not going to go get a sheep that's gotten caught by one of those. We'll pray for you. No. You know, but that's what David did. And he's looking there and he's saying, this is how he's able to pen the 23rd Psalm, because he said, this is exactly how the Lord cares for me. So he thought about these things. He walked with the Lord. And so when this time came, when things were horrible and he had no hope, he knew exactly what to do. That's why he said in verse 14, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I went right back to what I'd been doing. And in the end, we know that God got him through it. We know that God was with him through it. What's the pattern he shows us for success? We want to put it like that. To stay close to God, to stay walking with God, to not be mad at God, to not get bitter about the situation we're in that we don't understand, that we can't make sense of. He said, I trusted in Thee, O Lord. Thou art my God. That's what he did. It was the pattern of his life. When we find ourselves in trouble, we should ask God for His guidance out of the situation. Look what he says there in verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. When he found himself and this is, God, lead me out of this, show me the way then. Because guess what? You sometimes get there, you're like, I don't know what the next step is, God. What do you want me to do? Lord, I don't know what I need to do. I'm in a hopeless situation. I'm broken. I feel like trash. And he said, God, guide me. Lead me. Show me what to do. David did something in asking God for guidance. He went back to the thought, the truth, that God will always do right. God always does right. Look there in verse 1. He says, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Now get this next statement. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Think about in thy, what does that mean? In thy righteousness. Then go down to verse 3. He says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Now get this statement. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. A good name is rather to be chosen than riches. We say, you know, my word is my bond. If you can't keep your word, your name, that guy's got a bad name. So he went and pleaded with God about his righteousness, about the fact that God always does right. He said, wait, I take this and I think David's reminding God of, you anointed me as king. What's the deal? In thy righteousness, you said I was going to be king, so where's it at? Have you forgotten about me, God? That's what I think he's doing right here. I think he's taking God back to that. Hey, this is your name. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You're the one that said this. You know, this will make you look bad if you don't do it. God, you said it, not me. So where are you? We some Christians, you know, pretend like bad things don't happen, like Christians don't have doubts, like Christians don't get depressed. I'm like, you're not living in reality. Just read through the Psalms. He had doubts. That's what he's expressing right here. He's like, I don't know what step to take. That's doubt. I don't know what to do. So God, lead me, guide me. See, when we don't know what to do, our default needs to automatically be, I just keep trusting in God. I'm going to keep trusting the Lord. We're set on default. Okay, I don't want to term it like this, but I'm going to. I'm just go brain dead and I go back to my reset and it's just follow God. Just follow God. That's what it needs to be. That's what needs to happen when we don't know what to do. When we're calling on the Lord for help, we should never be ashamed of carrying His name. He says it twice in what this passage we read in verse 1. He says, let me never be ashamed. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed to stand there and when people are saying, what are you doing following the Lord? Look at how He's forsaken you. Say, I'm not going to be ashamed of Him. I'm just going to keep trusting Him. So that's what serving God gets you? Yep, I can look to the cross. I know He loves me. But you have to be confident in that. You have to be confident in that. Say, I don't want to be ashamed. Now you try that when things are good, you're like, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. Onward, Christian soldiers. But when everything's gone bad and your life's a mess and you're broken and you're weeping so much you can't even get words out, then where are you, God? Almost like Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not wrong to ask God why. It's not wrong to ask God why. It's wrong to doubt Him. But see, we have to understand we are the sheep. We are the children. Something that just helped turn this on for me was just thinking about a child. I remember back, I've told you all this before, but I remember back when I was a little kid, you know, and we'd go to Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors, and, you know, I'd go up to the counter, I couldn't see over it, so I couldn't see all the flavors, so I had to trust what my mom was telling me was there. I said, that's the one I want. But she could see, I couldn't, I just had to trust her. And that's a very simple analogy, but that's exactly how it is with God. See, we may be in a hopeless situation. It's dark and black and we don't know what to do and we're broken. We don't know the next step to take. But God is there and He's saying, don't worry. Just follow the path I lead you on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. So if we're just going where He tells us, then I know it's not easy, but the thing for us to do is to trust Him and not worry about it. To just say, okay, God, I'm trusting you. Because God sees down there, He's like, you're gonna be rejoicing in just a bit. And just a bit might be 10 years. I don't know. But to God, where He's eternal, it's already happened. So we just keep trusting. I mean, think back to many of the Christian martyrs that have gone before us, that they didn't get delivered. Turn to Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Save your spot in Psalm 31. Go to Hebrews 11. All right, look at verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. I'm going to read just a little bit here. Stick with me. It's talking about the hall of faith, all that other people had gone through, Christians before us, or these are even before Christ, okay? But believers, okay? Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It's talking about the promise of Christ. They didn't receive the promise of Christ. But by faith, they endured those things. Now think about that. They trusted the Lord. They followed after the Lord. And God didn't deliver them in this life. They were sawn asunder. Put yourself there. Put yourself there. Let's go back 500 years. We're Bible believers like we are right now. Except we're meeting in a cave. Because you can't do this. Catholic Church is going to get you. Protestants are going to get you. Lutherans, Presbyterians, they'll come after you. They're going to get you. We're meeting in a cave. There's an informant among us. Turned us all in. Now, to make it look real, the informant gets arrested with all of us just the same. So we don't know. And then they split you all up when they throw you in prison. And it's nothing like we got today. It's a dungeon. I mean, you're in there. Sometimes they throw everyone in a group. And you're all just, you know, bathroom and everything just right there. Doesn't matter. They don't care. They feed you. You're starving to death. Dirty water. Every once in a while, they'll take one of you out. Seek to beat you. Get you to recant. But you're like, I can endure that. You take the beatings. You don't recant. You hold strong to your faith in the Lord. They bring you back all beaten, you know, bones out of joint. They drag you and drop you on the floor. You fall like a sack of potatoes. And there maybe your wife comes and the others come and they start helping you put you back together. They don't send you to a doctor. Wintertime, it's freezing. In a cold stone prison. And that's where you're at. And you think, I can endure that. I'll endure that for my Lord. But then, the day comes that they grab you, your wife, your three children, and they pull you outside, and they grab your youngest child, 6-year-old little girl, like tie her up, get her hands above her head, stretched out, tie your feet. Now the executioner's there. And the inquisitioner looks at you and says, deny Christ, deny your baptism, deny what the Bible says, or we're going to cut your daughter in two. Now are you willing to stand? Been put in a situation like that? No hope? See how real our faith needs to be. What would you do? I honestly stand here and tell you, I don't know what I would do. I'd like to say I wouldn't deny Christ. But when I see them start running a saw blade across my daughter's stomach, if God didn't supernaturally help me, I would break. I couldn't do it. Oh, you'd do that to me. Maybe. But my child. My child. So this is how real our faith needs to be. That's what David's talking about when he says, in thee, Lord, do I put my trust. He's running for his life. By the way, while he's doing all this running, his family's going with him. He's taking his family with him on much of this. Not all of it, but much of it. They're going with him. Because at one point, they get captured. And his men are about to kill him because they think their family's been dead or murdered, or their wives and children are being violated by this other army. And all his men want to kill him. See, our faith needs to be real, not just something. I'm a Christian. It doesn't cost us anything in this country. Everybody's a Christian in this country. It's going to start costing something. And what are we going to do? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. This is what David's talking about. So when we hit that pit of despair where there's no hope, will we trust God? Allowing God to guide us and guide our steps means that we also trust that He's capable of getting us out of the situation. Verse 3, he says, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He says, I commit my spirit to you. You know what that means? That he said, God, whatever path you have for me, I'm willing to go down that path. He was willing to do whatever God had for him. He says, I commit my spirit to you. It's I surrender. God, I'm yours. Where are we going? That's the hardest part. To say, okay, God, I'll do it. And some of us aren't even willing to get a blister for Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding when I say that. Like, I have the sniffles, I can't come. Okay, fine. Don't. But that, you're hurting yourself and your Lord. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. And I'm telling you, man, so those of us with young children, those of you with young children, children, you know, 5, 6 and under, they are watching everything you do. And every step you take, you're teaching them something. You're telling them what's important and what's not by your actions. And you can tell them we're Christians and we go to church sometimes. You won't say sometimes, but our actions prove differently. We go to church sometimes. Jesus is sometimes important. Okay, mom and dad, that's great. We go to church. But man, something happens. They get to be 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And they say, this is a fraud. See, you might not believe that. If you've ever taught kids that age, they pick out your flaws very quickly. They can see your when what you're saying doesn't line up with what you're doing. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Inconsistencies, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. They pick up your inconsistencies very quickly. They may not say anything, but they will. So when what's being preached from here or what you're saying doesn't match with what you're allowing them to watch on television, now they're going to want it. They're going to say, let me watch it. But they're also going to say, I knew they didn't believe that. I knew this was a joke. That's what'll happen. We've got to live it. Whether you, that's not fair. I know you, I can't be perfect. I know. So when you mess up, tell them. I've had to go to my family more times than I care to admit to say, I'm sorry. I've led us wrong in this. Please forgive me. We shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't have done that. And guess it'll happen again. I'll have to do it again. I already know it. Because I'm a sinner just like you. But I pray my kids will see that I'm trying to be genuine. We're trying to be real. We mess up. And when we mess up, we fess up. And they'll own this and love this. See, he says right there, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Some of you are in here and you haven't come to that place of surrender. I'm telling you, disaster is going to hit your life when some bad situation comes to you. Look, a bad situation can come to your life and it not mean disaster for your life. Because you, like David, will say, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. But because some of you haven't committed, like it says in verse 5, into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. You haven't accepted this as truth. You think it's truth because things are going good for you right now. But when that bad situation comes, you're going to say, this isn't truth. You know, you haven't committed to Him. Oh, you've redeemed me, but I haven't commit myself to Him. You haven't come down and said, but in I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. You get mad at Him. And you're going to turn on Him. You're going to say, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I wanted. So have you committed your spirit to Him? See, some of you in here have not done that. You have not done that. And I'm talking to every age in here. You young children, listen up. You better do that. You better get that thing taken care of. You young adults better get that thing taken care of. You better do that. Because I guarantee you live long enough, disaster's coming to your life. Some catastrophic event will happen in your life. And it will either mean disaster, or you're going to get through it saying, but in Thee I trusted, O God! But some of you, that trouble's going to come. And you're going to be done. You'll be done. You're going to quit. You'll be out. Because today's Christianity tells us that you become a Christian, everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be great. Okay, go back and read Hebrews 11, what we just read. And tell me how their life was great when they were getting sawed asunder. About the countless millions of martyrs that were burned at the stake, tortured for Christ. Had their heads cut off, their guts ripped open. And said, God must not have loved them. No, there was deliverance. Not the kind we want. Go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. There was deliverance. Not the kind we think of. They didn't get delivered physically in this life. It says so. They didn't receive deliverance. But they trusted in God, they had faith in God, and there was a deliverance, a better resurrection. Where are you going to be? When the trial comes, it's coming, I guarantee it. I guarantee everybody in here, you're going to face something. Some disaster will hit. It's life. I feel blessed in this life that we've had relatively nothing happen to us. I feel so blessed by God that I can't think of anything really bad that's happened. The one thing I can look back in my life is my father died when I was 5. I had to grow up my life without my father. But since then, everything, we were blessed. We've had things happen, but we're blessed. I'm not running from my life, hiding my children, because we're Christians. I'm not having to do that. Afraid they're going to kick our door in, shoot us up. We're blessed. But I tell you, trials coming, because that's life. Even if it may be just the trials of life when you're going to lose a parent, and that's just the cycle of life when it's time, and a parent's going to die. That will either destroy you, or you'll recognize it as tragic, horrible, hurtful, painful, but still, I trusted in Thee, O Lord. And you'll just get through it. You'll keep going. And if they're saved, you say, hey, there'll be that resurrection day. We'll all be reunited. It'll be beautiful. I'll get to see my Savior face to face. But you got to decide. Some of you in here, you're on the fence. You haven't decided which side you're on. Am I here? You're just like straddling it. What? Which side am I on? I want this, but I want the world. You know, everything's good. Okay, I'll kind of be over here today. But now things got bad. Like, oh, forget that. And guess what? You go off a cliff. Got to figure it out. As an individual, David said, go back to Psalms. Verse 14. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. You know what he did when things were horrible? When things were black as night, awful as can be, no hope. He says, I'm broken. I feel like trash. He recommitted to God. He says, I'm owning you again. You're mine. You're my God. I don't get this, but you're my God. He said, I'm still following you. I haven't quit. I don't get what I'm in. I don't like what I'm in. I don't even know the next step to take, the next move to make. But you're my God. We have to get to that point. You have to. You have to decide. You're going to get to that point. You're going to get there. You're going to trust the Lord like that. No matter what happens, will you? Will he be your God? You have to make that decision. Let's pray.